According to federal estimates, some 57,000 undocumented and unaccompanied children have crossed the border from Mexico to the U.S. since last October, mainly via the Rio Grande Valley. And it's anticipated that more than 100,000 will have entered the country by the end of this year. We'll talk about the policy and the politics of the border crisis this hour, what President Obama wants to do about it, and the reaction to his request for $3.7 billion to deal with the wave of refugees. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Tuesday, July 15th. We will talk with a guest professor from Texas, and we'll wonder if you back President Obama with his plans to deal with the situation, or Congress. Congress is saying no to his request for $3.7 billion. If not that, what? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Let me welcome our guest. Very happy to have with us Brandon Rodinghouse, an associate professor and senior Don Henderson scholar in the Department of Political Science at the University of Houston. Good morning.
Well, thanks for having me.
Thanks a lot for being with us. Can you give us, give us a perspective of what's happening right now at the U.S.-Mexico border? What's going on in southern Texas?
Well, so for the last couple of years, there has been an increase in the number of unaccompanied minors at the U.S.-Mexico border. Many of these children have come from countries that are even farther south than Mexico and have had perilous journeys to get to that border even to begin with. The crisis has reached a point of seriousness when it became more and more apparent that these children were coming as a result of some kind of a mass influx towards the U.S. So the crisis becomes more and more steady, and you had Congress members of the White House, you had the governor of Texas all becoming more and more worried about what's to be done about this. Part of the problem is simply a lack of vision of what to do when these kinds of situations occur.
Yeah.
The other is simply how to pay for these kinds of things. And that becomes part of the political back and forth on the situation.
So right now, the waves of children, undocumented, unaccompanied children that are crossing the U.S. border in Texas are being, what, housed in some sort of a refugee-type camp?
Yes, so what's happened is that the government federally as well as the state of Texas have developed a sort of makeshift system to try to accommodate and try to prioritize and to try to process all of the young people who have come to the country and people who are associated with them as well. This is happening at the Texas border, but it's also the case that they're moving some of the individuals around to different stations that do this along the border as a way to try to reduce the amount of pressure that the Texan border is facing. So they're trying to, as best they can, accommodate this major influx, which it seems no one was prepared for.
Yeah. So why are all of these children coming to the United States?
Well, this is a good question. It's a number of factors. I think when people think about immigration, they think about push factors and pull factors. So at least most people look at this as a major issue of a push factor where you've got a humanitarian crisis happening in Central American and South American countries that's encouraging these children to flee their lives to try to find a better life. There is tremendous violence in some of these countries. There is criminal activity at epic proportions. And so the students or the children are terrified of living where they live. And so they have often set off on these perilous journeys to try to find some safety and try to find some a better life. The pull factors people have talked about include not only from the kind of political perspective where they claim that legislation that Congress has passed in the last couple of years, as well as President Obama's executive orders that are related to that, have encouraged people to come to the border to try to see if they can become U.S. citizens. Some of it is correct, some of it is misperception, but that's a pull factor where the U.S. is seen to be a place where you can not only go but and get citizenship, but also have a better life, find a job, and settle down.
Yeah, so I know that some Republicans have said you know, President Obama should be following the law right now. Well, what can you tell us what the law says? Are these children supposed to be just what, turned back, deported immediately? What is the law? What does the law say?
It's complicated. It's a little bit of everything. The law that most Republicans lately have been pointing to is a law that was passed by Congress in 2008. It requires that unaccompanied minors who arrive at the border receive some kind of a hearing. The issue, though, is that that hearing doesn't occur for often years after they arrive in this country. So they are temporarily housed with family, if possible, or other kinds of facilities, if needed, to have them be cared for and be safe until such time as they can have a hearing to determine whether or not they're eligible to stay in this country and the conditions that they need to meet in order to do so. So most legislation that's been talked about lately has been that. There's also some executive actions the president has taken, which have been talked about as a factor that may be encouraging some of these unaccompanied minors to come, and maybe encouraging some of the parents of these folks to push them north so they can come here. And so part of following the law is even for presidents following what their executive orders previously indicated and what their executive action was documented.
Yeah, what the most recent executive action that is pointed to in this particular crisis is was it something to do with the DREAM Act?
In this case, yeah, so President Obama claimed that because Congress was not able to pass the DREAM Act, which would have essentially provided for additional benefits for students who had come to the country through no fault of their own, and also puts some of these individuals who were younger immigrants on a path to citizenship. The president claimed that because Congress hadn't passed this, that he should act to essentially fill the gap, which presidents often do on these kinds of matters where Congress hasn't moved, but the president feels like there should be some movement. So the president has effectively filled that gap and attempted to put some individuals who are here in this country and who are young on a path to citizenship if it's the case that certain kinds of criteria are met.
Yeah, and now he is asking Congress for $3.7 billion to deal with the crisis. What does he want that money for?
I think that he'll want the money to effectively do more of what they're already doing. The crisis is that the budgets of some of these agencies have been really streamlined in, the president has tried best to reduce the deficit and has tried to reprioritize money to places that they want to have as a major issue. And some of the agencies that deal with these, like HHS and like FEMA, have been underfunded. And so what he wants the money for is effectively to try to beef up the amount of work that can be done at the border via these agencies in the executive branch.
Part of that money, though, would be used to quicken deportations or not?
I think that it would. Part of that, too, is the Department of Justice is effectively in charge of adjudicating some of the cases that come up as a result of these unaccompanied minors showing up at the border. So they could use this to hire more staff and more judges and have more cases be heard, so they can use that and give that to the Department of Justice to ramp up some of these cases as well.
Yeah, the other day, Sunday, Texas Governor Rick Perry said that he does not support the request for the $3.7 billion. Why not?
I think there are a couple of reasons. he's probably right in, from a policy perspective that this won't do that much. The problem is that it's probably better than nothing. So most Republicans are going to say that we're not going to write the president a blank check so that they can use he can use this to solve the crisis, right? As a policy, it's probably not that good, no matter how you look at it, but it's probably better than nothing. But I think also for Governor Perry, politically, there's an upside to him not having this crisis solved. He gets to do two things that are important for him. The first is that he gets to look conservative on an issue, which he, in his past run for president, looked less than conservative on. So the biggest moment in the presidential race for him wasn't the oops moment, which was kind of a, you know, momentary lapse of memory, but rather when he indicated that it looked as though Republicans didn't have a heart on the issue of immigration. And so that was the point where Republicans began to become disillusioned with the Perry phenomenon. So he, on this issue, can take a conservative stance and can challenge President Obama, which is something that it was for Republicans in the midterms as well as going into the 2016 election is going to be a very profitable strategy.
We are talking about the border crisis with a guest professor from Texas, talking about the politics and the policies involved. Welcoming your questions and your views at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. What do you think needs to happen when it comes to the tens of thousands of undocumented children that are coming from Central America and crossing the Mexico-U.S. border at Texas? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are talking with a guest professor in the Department of Political Science at the University of Houston about the southern U.S. border crisis and welcoming your questions about why so many children are flooding into the U.S. from Central America, what needs to happen to help these children, what needs to happen to follow the law, help these Texas towns dealing with this issue. What are your thoughts and questions for our guest expert? And do you think President Obama has the right idea with his request for $3.7 billion? Or do you side with Congress? Congress is saying, no, we're not going to write you a blank check. You know, follow the law. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our guest is Brandon Rodinghouse, an associate professor in the Department of Political Science at the University of Houston. Let's go to the phones and take our first caller, Carol in Oak Creek. Hello, Carol.
Hi, thank you. These children are refugees. I heard a disturbing report yesterday that some of these children are ending up drowned and floating in the Rio Grande River. I believe it is our duty to take care of these children. I mean, think of the Statue of Liberty. Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses learning to be free. I believe Obama needs the money to process these children instead of wasting money on wars. And one other thing, the U.S. population is 300 million, whereas like China is 1.3 billion. I mean, we have enough room, I believe. We could use some these children grow up and become more responsible taxpaying Americans.
Thank you, Carol. Well, first off, talk some about the Professor Rodinghouse. These children are refugees, and it's our duty to care for them.
I think that that's a good point, and I think the administration certainly feels like this is a serious humanitarian crisis, and I think Congress feels that way too. The only question is, and the only restriction is, how politically can they deal with this? Everyone acknowledges that this is a terrible tragedy, and the kinds of imagery that we see from the border and even point south when these kids are in jeopardy is heartbreaking. The problem with Republicans is that they have to walk a fine line because most of their base supports a much more firm border security type of policy and or one that encourages kind of quick turnaround and quick deportation. for Democrats, they want to also encourage there to be some kind of a security, but Democrats are more likely to, in these issues, be in favor of a path to citizenship. The problem for the Democrats, though, too, is that they can't necessarily unilaterally indicate that they'd like to have everybody who shows up at the border become a new citizen. And so both parties are really painted politically into a corner on this, which creates some complications in terms of how to address the issue, but also how to frame the issue.
Yeah, let's get a different viewpoint from Robert in Waterford. Hello, Robert.
Yeah, how you doing? Good morning, everybody. First of all, the people that came here years ago came here legally. Second of all, you know, we're a country with laws and regulations, and I can guarantee you if we don't do something about the borders, they're going to start coming from different countries. We can't help everybody. We're a sovereign country. We have rules and regulations, and if we keep telling people they can come here, they're going to come all over the world, and we just can't take care of everybody. You know, if you want to keep the chickens safe in the hen house, you got to put the fence up. And as much as you might like the fox, you want to eat the chickens, you got to take care of the chickens. So I know these are young kids and they're already here, but we have to stop them, deter them, and the only thing that's going to do them, I'm afraid, is a wall. That's my comment.
Well, what about the kids that are here, Robert?
Well, you know what? The kids that are here, obviously, I mean, we have a problem. I think I heard 50% of them aren't even are heading off into different parts of America, and people don't even know where they are now. They're going to be lost forever. But we already have, like, what, 10, 12 million illegal people. I hate when they don't like to use the word illegal. But I don't know. I mean, we need to help children, but we have to stop it, because otherwise the flow is just going to keep coming in. People are going to come from all over the world if they know we can get a freebie in America, and our country just can't provide for everybody. As much as we, you know, America's always great at helping people out, we're usually the first country to go help people. We have a limit. And we have to say, hey, sorry, but we have to have walls here because we're a sovereign country. And if we don't, might as well just be a big hippie commune and anybody can come whoever wants to, you know?
Thanks, Robert. So we need to deter this by putting up a wall, Professor Rodinghaus?
Well, this is what I think Republicans have pushed. Whether they truly believe it or not, I don't know. You know, it's clearly a good political argument to claim that there's, you know, some value in having the border secure. And clearly there's a legitimate policy issue at work here where the border needs to be secure in some way. And that, as the caller notes, and it's impractical to have a border that's porous and having people come across who, you know, could be bringing drugs or crime or terrorism or who knows what. And maybe these kinds of concerns are overblown to some degree, but there's clearly an issue at work here. So the Congress has to think about ways to sort of firm up that border and make sure that there's a legal and clear way that people can come to this country. And I think that part of that problem is finding a policy which can be developed that can really govern this more unilaterally. The Congress passed this with the president's consent in mid-1980s. President Reagan was the tip of the spear on this. And even now, Republicans challenge him for having supported a policy more or less of amnesty towards undocumented immigrants. But Congress has done this before and has provided for a more comprehensive vision of what immigration policy should be. So perhaps one way that the crisis could be quelled or at least could be addressed going forward is that some kind of a comprehensive notion of what the immigration system in the country will look like, and that includes these kinds of problems, of which there are many. The caller points out rightly that several of many thousands, hundreds of thousands, almost of these youngsters who show up at the border disappear, and they don't show up for their court cases. Their hearings are lost or delayed years and years, and it creates a serious ongoing problem. And I think this really punctuates the fact that there is a problem with the system and it has to be addressed. Exactly how to address that, though, is really a matter of politics. And there hasn't been a lot of appetite in either party to really put their shoulder into this problem and try to address it wholeheartedly.
We'll talk more about addressing the problem and the policies that need to be considered, and welcome more calls with questions and views from our listeners. But in the minute or so that we have before our news break, I wanted to talk a little bit about the politics of all of this. Do you think, Professor Rodinghaus, President Obama is taking his lumps over this, that we don't think he's handling this properly, or how are we viewing this?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question. I mean, I think for the president, this is a no-win prospect. It makes it, the fact that this is happening makes it look like his administration is incompetent, that they don't know what's happening. That's clearly not true, but the perception is that if they should have seen this coming years ago, it's aided by the fact that Governor Perry and several other members of Congress are claiming that we'd informed you of this situation years ago and nothing was done about it. So on one hand, the president's administration looks like they can't handle it. Politically speaking, the president is in a tight spot because I think that the Democrats don't necessarily want to engage the Republicans on this issue because this issue is something that really gins up the Republican base. We're going into a very competitive primary, are going to a very competitive midterm election where the Democrats win and potential to win some of these states may hinge on turnout alone. So I don't think the president really wants to talk about the issue, and I don't know that there's a solution to the problem that they can really find in a short term. So I think the president is really kind of backed into a corner on this, and at least politically and administratively is really taking his lumps.
We are talking with Brandon Rodinghouse, an associate professor and a senior scholar in the Department of Political Science at the University of Houston, about the U.S.-Mexico border crisis. We are talking about what is happening at the U.S.-Mexico border, the cause of the crisis and possible solutions, and what should happen with the 50,000-plus undocumented, unaccompanied children who are flooding into the U.S. from Central America. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are talking with Brandon Rodinghouse, an associate professor and a senior scholar in the Department of Political Science at the University of Houston, and we're welcoming your questions. We're welcoming your views, your thoughts on what should happen here. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Let me share a comment from Bill on Facebook to get into a couple of different issues here. He writes, "Send the children back to their parents. Send the message that the borders are closed so they don't try this dangerous journey. Close the damn border. If kids can cross, who else do you think is coming across? There are gang members coming across the border. There are diseases coming across the border. Does this change your mind?" So let's talk about a couple of issues that he brings up, Professor Rodinghouse. First of all, specifically, he says, send the children back to their parents. Is that what the law says is supposed to happen in a situation like this where undocumented, unaccompanied children are flooding the U.S. border?
It could be. The law requires that these young people get a hearing, which decides whether or not going back to their family of origin is dangerous or not, and whether the country that they're from is suitable enough and stable enough to give them the kind of proper home environment that, you know, we would expect from and for children. So it could be that they are, in fact, sent back. But what could also happen is that it's determined that because of the danger that they might face upon going back, that it's better for them to stay in this country and to be provided a kind of pathway wherein they can stay in the United States. It's complicated because sending the children back may not be workable. It may be that the parents can't be found. It may be that the parents are no longer alive. It may be that the parents are involved in illegal activities in their countries. And so there are a host of these kinds of factors that make it complicated to have a kind of one solution fits all situation to solve this, because it's very unlikely that you can say that the reason that these individuals are coming to the border is of any one certain pedigree.
I see. So, again, in a, I guess, the generic sense, if there is a hearing and it's determined that it would be dangerous for this child to be sent back to parents, or there are no parents, then what happens? if it's determined that the child does not go back to his or her home country?
This is a good question. I mean, part of the problem of sort of having a loose and not necessarily comprehensive immigration plan in the country is that there are lots of different options, maybe some of which are okay and some of which are less than okay. These children would likely be attached to some kind of a foster parent, or if they can find family or other kinds of relatives, then they could be connected to those individuals. That's the best case scenario. Worst case scenario is that they're simply held in a kind of limbo where the processes of trying to find a permanent solution become effectively the permanent solution. And so that's less than good, especially for a child who's developing. And so this becomes a real problem for the government and a serious humanitarian crisis that Congress and the White House need to think about as a long-term problem.
And as you mentioned, this process of the hearing and determining whether the child stays or goes, is that process can take years.
It can. Part of the problem is just the administrative backlog. Part of the problem is that trying to collect the information necessary for proper advocacy is time-consuming. Even at the end of that process, it's often the case that up to 50% of juvenile immigration cases simply don't get heard because the people don't show up. So there's a real fear and a real danger that effectively these individuals will disappear. So I think this is a point where, you know, people who are on both sides of this issue can agree, where you want to have a system that allows for proper tracking of and humane treatment of these people, and you want to be able to follow the rules. But the problem is, as it is, the rules aren't necessarily followed, and the enforcement is very uncertain. So I think that there are pathways that could be used to shore up this process, but it does take a kind of political will, which seems to be pretty well lacking in Washington these days.
Well, I'll get to those pathways in just a moment, but I wanted to again clarify the part of the $3.7 billion that President Obama requested to deal with the crisis was to have staff available and the resources available to aid in speeding up this hearing process. Is that right?
That's correct. And that's a partial use of that money, and I think that would help, and it certainly would solve the problem, at least temporarily. I think the problem here for the White House is that there's a longer-term problem at work, and that's the kind of thing that has to be addressed. But addressing that in a contentious election year with a president who is not popular with the opposition party can be pretty complicated.
Yeah, I also wanted you to address these fears that Bill puts on his Facebook post, because I've heard these too, that I guess that not everybody coming over the border is an innocent child, that, you know, gang members and diseases, deadly diseases, are crossing the border as well. Is that a legitimate concern?
Yeah, he sounds like he's running for office in Texas, because this is pretty well what the Republican line is in the state. It's clearly the case that there are people who are crossing the border who have nefarious and untoward means towards the U.S. Maybe some of them are criminals, and maybe some of them have, sort of less than, altruistic motives about attending or coming to the U.S. There's no doubt that that happens. How much of the time that happens, we don't know, just because they're undocumented and they flow through. So there's clearly a little bit of truth to all of the claims that opponents on of this are making. And there's clearly truth to the case that the administration, the Democrats, want to make, that there needs to be some main treatment of the people who are in legitimate crisis here. So I think that the political problem, though, just to extend that, is that it's hard to get a solution to a problem when you have both sides, you know, angrily yelling at each other and making these polemical claims about who these people are and who they aren't. And so that is really where the battle is being fought right now. It's fought at a rhetorical level as opposed to a policy solution level. So this is really going to be the telltale signal as to whether or not Congress can come together and to provide some kind of a solution to this, as to whether or not they can dial the rhetoric back and start to really look hard at the facts, determine whether or not and what the exact problem is.
Dave in Menominee is with us now. Hi, Dave.
Hi, good morning. The Republicans say that the president should follow the law, and I hear that over and over, follow the law. But the law signed by President Bush in 2008, what is it called, the Trafficking Victims Protection Reauthorization Act, states that these kids should have due process. If you're from Mexico or Canada, you're going to get sent back. But if you're from Honduras or any of the southern American countries, you have to be processed. You are given due process, and Republicans are refusing to give the money in order for the law to work. So the Republicans are telling the president to follow the law and then are blocking him from being able to follow the law. And the immigration bill, of course, has been blocked. And I also wanted to bring up, these are a political party, a bunch of people on one side that claim to be Christian. And when it comes time to stand up, to do the Christian thing, they fail again.
All right, Dave. So Congress is blocking the president from following the law, Professor Rodinghouse?
Well, I think that the caller's right that when the president requests more money for this, that if it's a good faith request, that they actually do need the money. Whether they're blocking him or not is a different story. I think that they clearly could do more to help the White House, and if things were less politicized on this, I think that they probably would. But given the nature of how the politics are now, it's hard for either side really to give in on this issue. So that's, I think, something to think about. But I think that the crisis is too sort of difficult for the president, because the president, you know, knows that they can do certain kinds of things, but yet is hamstrung by some of the things that Congress has said. So no matter what the president does, there's going to be political ramifications, and there's going to be criticism from several corners of the Republican Party, and that creates a problem for him. So that any action that he engages in is going to be met with a kind of political resistance. So it's hard for the president, I think, to do much here other than simply blame right back to the Republicans that they're not doing anything to help as well. So I think that it's a kind of a vicious circle that gets created here.
Yeah, he might get political blowback from it, but can the president, is there executive action, executive orders that he could sign that could essentially, I guess, do what he wants Congress to do if Congress won't do it?
Yeah. This is the hallmark question of presidents, especially presidents in second terms, right? How much can you act unilaterally, and will Congress react? In general, Congress doesn't typically respond to presidents in this. They don't typically legislate around presidential unilateral actions. Courts are reluctant to challenge presidents on unilateral actions. So one could look at this and say that presidents do have a bit of a free hand when it comes to acting unilaterally. The problem is that depending on the nature of the law and the issue that the president wants to act on, there are restrictions Congress builds into this legislation that might limit the president's hands and ability to be able to act. And so in these cases, the specific administrative remedy and the specific administrative situations require presidents to act in certain specific ways. And so it may not be that they can really deviate much from that. What exactly the president would do unilaterally, I don't know that it's very clear. He has said that he would, and he's floated that idea, which prompted Speaker Boehner to suggest that the administration would be sued by Congress. That lawsuit is also fraught with problems, legal problems. But it's not uncommon for Congress to at least rhetorically respond to the president and claim that they're acting too far out of bounds. But the president hasn't said specifically what they would do. One thing that has been floated is a very small idea of having there be better coordination between state government and the federal government with respect to the enforcement of certain kinds of laws and an attempt to catch illegal immigrants based upon local intelligence and local arrest reports. But these are very minor kinds of things. Is this going to solve the humanitarian crisis that we have in front of us? I doubt it. Is it going to provide for more capacity for the administration to deal with these issues. I doubt it. So the president can take some issues at the margins, but when it comes down to it, the kind of real policymaking needs to be done is both the president and Congress sitting down and thinking about how do we make this problem work.
We are talking with Brandon Rottinghouse, an associate professor and senior scholar in the Department of Political Science at the University of Houston, talking about the tens of thousands of undocumented minors, children, crossing the border from Mexico to the U.S., primarily in the Texas area, about why this is happening and how this situation needs to be handled. What do you think? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We're talking about the U.S.-Mexico border crisis with all of the undocumented children crossing the border. How should this situation be handled? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our guest is Brandon Rottinghouse, who is with the Department of Political Science at the University of Houston. Bernie in Elkhorn is with us now. Hi, Bernie.
Hi, good morning. I wanted to mention a few things that are contributing strongly to this illegal immigration problem that we've got. One is NAFTA. When that was passed under Clinton and the Congress, that created economic havoc for Mexican farmers and others, and that precipitated a lot of migration that wouldn't have occurred otherwise. Neither major party wants to repeal that corporate trade deal. The drug war has just wreaked havoc in Colombia, Mexico, et cetera. Neither major party seems wanting to get rid of that. And last but not least, our government has consistently supported repressive governments in places like Honduras, Colombia, and these make life hell for their people. There's no change under Obama or Bush in that regard, another piece of bad bipartisan policy. And these causes of illegal immigration, which is a problem, and I'm in favor of deporting people who are here illegally, these causes are never discussed.
Yeah. Well, we'll touch on them, but what about the kids, Bernie?
That's a tough issue. I have to say my gut feeling is that they should be deported as quickly and humanely as possible.
Yeah. Well, what about those underlying causes of that Bernie says are behind illegal immigration, but presumably also these children that are coming, Professor Rottinghouse?
Yeah. Well, some of the aggregate totals of immigration and illegal immigration indicate that there's been a plateau in the last couple of years, but clearly from the time of the 1990s, there's been an increase. And I think part of it is just, yes, the economies in some of these countries are doing less well than the U.S. economy, which is doing comparatively better. There's also the story lately that has, I think, been taken hold that the president hasn't done enough to kind of discourage actively the migration of these folks to the southern border of the U.S., and I think there's probably something to that. I mean, it's certainly the case that the president could use his power as just the visual aspect of his office to be able to discourage folks from coming. The White House is preparing to have ads that are run in these countries to note that attempting this kind of perilous journey could end in tragedy. And so I think they've finally slowly gotten the message that this needs to be addressed, but it's come late and perhaps too late to really solve this problem, and too late certainly to demonstrate a kind of real political and policy mastery of this by the administration. So I think that effectively they've already lost this battle. The question is, how can they hold the line against any further kinds of political problems or policy problems that might come up as a result of this?
Yeah. Maybe talk just a little bit, since we've sort of assessed President Obama's handling of the situation, a little bit on Texas Governor Rick Perry's handling of this situation with insisting that the president come down to the border and then going down to the border himself. With who is he with now? I can't remember now, but there's photos of him at the border. And just simply saying that Obama is to blame for this. I'm not sure what Rick Perry wants to have happen.
Well, if you ask Rick Perry, President Obama is to be blamed for everything that's gone wrong in Texas and beyond. Obviously, that's more than that is true. But on this case, I think that what Governor Perry wants to do is to really put this at the foot of the administration. And that helps him politically because he can use this issue to argue against the Obama White House's version of what progress is. And that's something that Governor Perry has done for the last several years to great success in Texas and perhaps even nationally. And I think the Governor Perry, too, wants to, as all governors do, put a very realistic spin on this and say, we don't have the money to deal with the kind of crisis that's happening here. And so a lot of the time, the states are presented with a bill to deal with some of these things. And several governors of various states, including Wisconsin governor and the governor of Iowa, have, and of course, Governor Perry, have come out and said, you know, the administration is not handling this well. You know, we don't have the money to deal with these kinds of, you know, refugee crises. And so the fault should be at the door of the White House. They're probably not that wrong on this because obviously no one is prepared for this, but it's certainly the case that Governor Perry can win on this politically, and given the popularity of the issue with Republicans and given that the Republicans are much more likely to support deportation and border security kind of policies than they are a path to citizenship type policy, I think that Republicans can score big on this, and Governor Perry, I think, has been at the forefront of that.
Yeah. Well, so you said that you did not see any sort of fast solution that would maybe happen before midterms, but what is next? What will do you expect the next move will be, especially from President Obama?
Yeah, I think the president is effectively at the end of his rope on this. I don't think they have the political capital to push the issue with Congress. They know that they're not likely to get very far. I think that the political will to pursue this issue is really pretty low right now. I mean, part of it is just that he's in a second term and getting a big comprehensive anything is unlikely. Also, given the fact that it's at the midterms right now when you've got pretty serious political contention across the nation, I think that the president doesn't really want to push this issue and doesn't really have the capital to do so. I think the ancillary damage on this issue might be happening at the state level, but with respect to several Senate seats. So there are some very competitive Senate seats that are up. The Democrats are in danger of losing, like North Carolina, like Arkansas, like Louisiana. And on this issue, what is likely to happen is that it's going to gin up the Republican base. They're going to be angered by the administration's lack of action. They're going to be unhappy that this is happening at all and that it's not being resolved in a way that they like. And so they're likely to be more active. And if they're more active and the Democratic Party is less likely to be supportive of these kinds of issues and or dormant on the issue, then it could really hurt these Democrats in these vulnerable seats.
We have less than 30 seconds. Professor Rodinghouse, do you see the flow of children slowing down anytime soon?
I think it'll slow down. I think the message has been pretty well sent that the U.S. can deal with this, but it is likely to be dealt with in more severe ways. And so I think that the message is probably clear. I think we can all hope that the limitation of this is a signal that we can, you know, make these kids' lives better. But the U.S. will always be seen as a place that people...
I got to jump in. Thank you very much for being with us.